I will begin with a hallelujah. He is risen. But the question is, what took place after this glorious resurrection? That is the question. What took place? Have you thought about it? Well, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and also the Gospel of Acts, he tells us exactly what took place after the resurrection. And to prestate his statement, we are told that we are called to be witnesses, witnesses of the many infallible things that Jesus did and was seen about him after the resurrection. And I will now read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And as you can see on the screen, the statement, ascension. It was necessary for Jesus to be crucified, died, buried, and risen. And if this did not happen, we could not have the ascension. And the ascension is utmost. It's very important to us. And I will narrate what Dr. Luke says concerning the many infallible things and about how we ought to witness of those things which we have seen and heard of Jesus Christ. And I will now begin the reading, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And it begins, "The former account I made, O Theophilus." And as I was reading this, the name Theophilus stand out because it's a name that many Christians have. And I know of two Christians by the name of Theophilus. And one of those Theophilus that I know, many of you from the former Hillside Church of Christ, one of the elders there, his name was Theophilus Galam. I don't know if the Turuks remember Brother Galam, but he was an elder at the Hillside Church. And over here, Paul, Luke, Dr. Luke. Over here, Luke is speaking, or witnessing, I should say, or is calling to remembrance the many things that were taught of Jesus Christ. And he begins, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, or in some version, not many days hence. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or season which the Father has put in his own authority. But you," significant, "but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will soon come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven." May God bless his holy words. The grass withers, the flowers faded away, but God's word is eternal, is everlasting. This is an important piece of scripture, these 11 verses, because basically it's talking to us about we being witnesses of the many things which we have read in all four Gospels pertaining to Jesus Christ, starting from his birth, going through to his ministry, being baptized by John the Baptist, going into the wilderness prior to his starting his ministry, being tempted, and we see Christ using scripture to defend himself against the threats of Satan. And we see Jesus entering into Jerusalem lowly on a donkey, being a king, a subservant king, not a king in glorious apparel or as kings entering into a city after a battle on a white stallion, but he entered lowly on a donkey. And we see him doing many miracles throughout his life. We see him with his apostles, disciples. We see him making choices as to who will be his disciples. And we see him doing many miraculous things, things such as calming the sea, walking on water, doing his first miracle in Cana, when he turned water into wine. We see many miraculous things that Jesus did. And Dr. Luke is reminding Theophilus of these many wondrous things. He is witnessing to Theophilus. And we likewise, as Christian, should take this passage and be witnesses to Jesus's teaching and the many miraculous things which he has done. We see him, a man of God, God himself, came in the flesh and doing things, healing the sick, casting out demons, devils out of those that were demons possessed. Acts 1, verses 1 through 11, fulfill Jesus' teaching that for the Holy Spirit to come, he must return to heaven. If Jesus did not die and didn't ascend and go into heaven, we would not have the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. John 16:7. Nevertheless, this is Jesus, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, talking to his disciples, that if I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. This is the promise of the Father, which was that promise that the Holy Spirit would come at Pentecost to do miraculous things, work in the lives of the apostles and in the lives of we Christians today. The serenity of his promise was that he had to die to go to heaven, to be with the Father. And while he was on earth, he did many miraculous things. And as he said, he is leaving. And in verses 5, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, appeared first to Mary Magdalene, who he had cast out 7 demons, and she was just baffled because she saw this person there and she did not realize that that person was Jesus Christ. But when Jesus called her by name, see, Jesus or the Father knows us all by name and calls us by name. Not only does he know us by name, but he knows the numbers of every hair on our head. Isn't that fantastic? Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, Mary. And she was baffled because she thought that was the gardener. And she turned around and saw him and says, Rabboni, which means teacher. So he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then thereafter he appeared to the 10. She went and she told them that that the Lord has risen. Now, there is 11, but Didymus, Thomas, wasn't present at that particular time. But at another instance, when he appeared to them, Thomas was there. And Thomas said, I would not believe unless I put my hands in your side and see the marks of the nails in your hand. And Jesus says, come forth and put your hands here. And he did. And he says, oh, my God and my Lord, my God. You know, he believed. And Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen but believe. Talking about us, we have not physically seen Jesus, but we know all about his teaching and about his life. And we are blessed for being believers of Jesus Christ. Jesus continued showing himself, and did many infallible things. Things that one would not be able to fathom. He appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" To prove to them that he is living and is risen and is alive. And he asked them, "Do you have any food?" And they gave him a bit of broiled fish and honeycomb, and he ate it. And he said, "Flesh and blood would not be able to eat as spirits do not eat, but flesh and blood do eat," and they really believe. And another appearance that he made was when he was by the seaside, and he was broiling some fish, and he called his disciples and offered them breakfast. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing for the master to do? And that really confirmed that he was risen and that he was alive. In verse 4 and 5, the promise of the Father was about to send the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Tarry not many days hence, but wait." He gave them a commandment to wait. He appeared to them during 40 days. But the apostles were commanded, and others were commanded to wait. And they were waiting 10 days in an upper room there in deep meditation and prayer. And they were waiting for that promise of the Father. And lo and behold, what happened? We know of Pentecost. We hear of Pentecost being 50 days. 40 days, he appeared on many occasions, not continuously. As a matter of fact, in one instance, he appeared to over 500 have seen him. And this is infallible proof of Jesus being risen from the dead. So while they were up in the upper room, 10 days, 40 days he appeared, 10 days they were up in the upper room praying, which gives a total of 50 days, and we know that 50 in Greek pente means 50. 50 days, the conclusion, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And while they were there, we know what took place. The Holy Spirit descended, came as a rushing wind, descended upon each of the apostles, the holy fire, the Spirit. And if you look at that first page that you might see on the Metro Christian website, you will see the fire representing the Holy Spirit. I don't know if any of you have gone there, but I think, Chris, you know, you have seen that, right? It's on the poster. Right, okay. So the Holy Spirit came appearing as clouds of fire on all of those that were up in the upper room, and they miraculously were given power to witness. This is the Holy Spirit will help us in witnessing. They were witnessing to all those who were attending a feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And those people were from all over the Roman world at that time, speaking in many different languages. So the power of the Holy Spirit gave them utterance to speak in many different languages. Real languages, not as we see some of our Christian brothers in the Pentecostal church. And well, they speak in tongues, they call it glossolalia. but it's not really languages. And Paul did chastise them by saying, if you speak in tongues, you should have an interpreter, which means talking in real languages. But what we see happening in today's Pentecostal church is just a bubbling and heavy movement and showing that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you are literally being empowered to go out and witness and tell of the many miraculous things which Jesus had done prior to his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's amazing how the disciples, and I know you probably heard a message on the resurrection, that they did not believe that he was risen. They thought that perhaps maybe his body was stolen. The ladies that went there, they went to anoint with herbs, aloes, and myrrh, and so forth. But they didn't comprehend what Jesus was telling them all the while he was with them, that he came for a purpose. He came to die, and on the third day, he will be risen and taken up and send the Holy Spirit. They did not comprehend this whatsoever. It's just amazing and baffling. This is why over here in verses 1 and 2, Dr. Luke is telling Theophilus, he's witnessing to him, to tell him of the many miraculous things that Jesus did while he was here on earth with them. The apostles, being empowered with the Holy Spirit, receiving power and being witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Matthew 28, and we commonly refer to Matthew 28 as the Great Commission, but also that Great Commission is also mentioned in Luke 16:15, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in Matthew 28, it's a little different. It says, go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone, teaching and baptizing them. And I will now read that so we get a complete understanding of Matthew 28. But this is all happening after Jesus was resurrected. And he says, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples. See, the Holy Spirit was sent to us to empower us, to aid us in being good witnesses of the miraculous thing that Jesus did while he was here on earth. The power of sending the Holy Spirit is to aid us in witnessing. And as it says in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Important. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. An important part of witnessing is for you to call to remembrance the many miraculous things that Jesus did while he was on earth, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the earth. Jesus had sent his Holy Spirit to empower us, to give us the power to be witnesses. And that's part of the ascension, that Jesus had to go to the Father, and being at the right hand of the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father, we know that he is there praying for us, making intercessions for us. So when we are witnessing, we should not fear, but just call upon the Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be witnesses of the many miraculous things that Christ did while he was on this earth. And another important thing concerning witnessing. Jesus, as I said, appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the 10 or the 11 on many different occasions, and on one occasion to more than five. But a very miraculous thing took place. And this, I think I spoke on this once here as a message, but this could be another message. Jesus, two of his disciples, Cleophas and another disciples, was leaving Jerusalem after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were heading home some maybe 5 miles or so out of Jerusalem. And out of nowhere, Jesus appeared to these two disciples. And this is commonly referred to as the journey on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to them, but somehow he restrained their vision that they did not recognize who he was. And Jesus said to them, "What is this conversation you're having among yourselves?" And they said to him, "Are you the only visitor that haven't heard what took place 3 days ago in Jerusalem? That Jesus, one who came from God, who did many miraculous things, was crucified." And Jesus said to them, enlightening them, starting from the Gospels, starting from Moses, going through the entire prophets and the Psalms and the Gospel, told them all about himself. And as he was about to leave them, they were saying within themselves, when he spoke to us, didn't that burn us in our heart, the things that he was telling us? So they restrained Jesus and asked Jesus to stay with them for dinner. And Jesus did. And at that particular time, Jesus took bread, and this was not the Last Supper, but he took bread, blessed it, and gave it to them. And at that point, they realized that this was the Master. So when we are in the presence of Jesus Christ and he breaks bread, as we broke bread today, the Lord's Supper, and remembrance of his death, burial, and resurrection, we will know that the power of God exists in Jesus Christ. Now, to conclude all this message, what can we say concerning the conclusion? Well, the writer of Luke, what he did as he was narrating to Theophilus, he combines the gospel, the occurrence of the gospel, what occurred in the gospel, with what occurred in the book of Acts. He combined the two. He tied the two events together. Why? Because the ascension clarifies the ascension clarifies the true meaning of the resurrection. And as we were singing earlier, I heard "How Great Thou Art," and one of the stanzas states, when Christ shall return with shouts of acclamations, what is being said there is what we see in 1 Thessalonians, where, as it says in the latter part of Acts, where it says, this same Jesus, and I'm turning there now, where it says, brethren, men, why do you gaze up into the clouds? This same Jesus, the same way, it says, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will soon come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven. So Jesus was taken up into heaven, into the clouds, into the Shekinah, the clouds representing the Shekinah glory of God, taking him up out of their presence. And the two angels, and there is significance to two angels. At the tomb, when Jesus was resurrected, if you recall, there were two angels, one at the head and one at his feet, which represent that Shekinah glory that exists in the Ark of the Covenant, where you have two cherubims, one on the left and one on the right, and the mercy seat is there. Jesus is that mercy seat. This same Jesus, the angel said, these two angels, will likewise come in the same manner that he leaves. And when he comes, what a glorious time that will be. That will be a time when we who are alive will be transformed to meet those who have gone before us. Those who have gone before us, as the scripture says, will be taken up first. And we likewise will meet them. And so we'll all be together with the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in the realm of heaven. How wonderful that is. You know, all of our departed relatives, brothers, and sisters who have gone before us, if Jesus returned, let's say today or now, they will be taken up, and we likewise will be transformed. This physical body, as scripture tells us, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. As Paul says, in a twinkling of an eye, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be transformed, and we will be taken up, and we will meet our loved ones. We will meet them. You often hear that, you know, you will see your loved ones. Well, look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is basically telling us that we'll all meet together. So we'll see our loved ones, and we'll all meet together and be with the Lord forevermore. Isn't that wonderful that we will see those who have gone? So I know many of us here have loved ones that we have lost, but don't despair. Just be patient. We will see them again. We will meet them up in the air. As you know, that song that was saying, how great thou art. You know, when Christ shall come with voice of acclamation. You know, when the dead in Christ will rise first, we will meet those, our loved one who have gone before us. So in the meantime, while we're here, tarry, but tarry not in despair. Tarry having a hope that we will see our loved ones again. And to finally conclude, Christ had to leave to send that Holy Spirit to enable us to be witnesses in all Judea, Samaria, and to the uppermost end of the earth. So we are called to be witnesses. But don't despair. The Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is there. Jesus had to die, had to ascend into heaven, go to the Father. The Father has promised to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was sent at the day of Pentecost. May God bless you all with this message. Amen.